The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from The Movement.
Well, I want to tell you, I'm excited about this series more than I've been about any series that we have done to date. And if you're with us for the first time, or maybe you've only been around a couple weeks, I want to tell you, a series here is kind of like reading a book. So we'll take 4 to 6 weeks and we'll unpack a topic or a passage of scripture and figure out how it applies to you and to me. And so here's the thing, man, it's like reading a book. You can't skip chapters and hope to get the full story by the end. You got to be a part. So I want to ask you to make plans to be here over the next 6 weeks. And if you miss it, don't worry. We've got a podcast. You can pick up everything that's going down, because I'm telling you right now, this sermon series has the potential to change your life forever. And I know you might be thinking, I'm just saying that because I'm the one preaching or because this is our church. But I want to tell you, this is going to cover the one area of life that if it's working for you, then everything's going well. This is going to talk about relationships, and not just marriage and not just dating, but all of the above. And there is not going to be a single sermon over the course of the next 6 weeks that won't apply to you and the season of life that you're in. Listen, I'm telling you right now, this is something you want to be a part of. Listen to some of these statistics. Right now, 40% of us, whether men, women, boys, girls, doesn't matter what your age is, have been affected by divorce or a tragedy in the home. 40%. 40%. And 25% of us right now are in a place of giving up on a failed relationship, or what we feel is a failed relationship. And the truth is, I could go into more and more statistics about relationships, whether it's married or dating or relationships between families, brothers and sisters, moms and dads. But the bottom line is this, that relationships are in trouble. Relationships are in trouble. But I believe God's given us a specific word, and I believe God's given us some tools and really an outline and parameters on how to make it in life, in the relationships that we're in, and see success and life and enjoy every part of it. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I know some of you may be here for the first time, but I'm going to ask that you'll give me 6 weeks of effort, that you'll really lean in. Normally, we only do about a 4-week series, but this one's so powerful that I believe it's going to really make a difference. But look at me in the eyes for just a moment. I want to challenge you, lean in on this one. Give me 6 weeks of effort. Give God everything that you've got. Listen, I don't just come and sit and punch in and punch out and go home, but let's really see what God's going to do. In fact, I want to give you some ground rules for this series. This series is so potent that I believe it needs some ground rules. Number one, listen for yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to me. Man, we're a quiet crowd today. This is going to be good. When you get real quiet, I preach for about an hour and a half. I actually have them shut the movies off the rest of the day. So stay quiet. It's good. So number one, this is listen for yourself. There's no holy elbows. You can't be elbowing your husband, look at him with that, you know, evil eye and say he's talking to you, okay? This is for me, okay? This is for you as an individual. Listen for yourself. Number two, and I think this is important. This is important. Number two, don't compare your now to your future. I believe a lot of people in the building, in seats today, are in a relationship that might not be where they want it to be. It might be troublesome. It might be rocky. It might be a challenge. And I want to challenge you, don't compare your now to your future. I'm going to literally present, I'm going to walk through one book of the Bible. We're going to go verse by verse. It's a little different than what we normally do at the Movement Church. So you're going to hear God's standard for relationships. And I know that for some of us, we can sit there and go, man, I'm nowhere close. I'm so far off, it's ridiculous. There's no hope for me. But I want to tell you this, that Jesus makes all things new. He makes all things new. In fact, Jesus gives us a second chance. So no matter where you are, no matter where your relationship is right now, there is hope for the future. So don't compare your now to the future. Rule number two, this series is rated PG-13. Okay, you need to know that. And so if you have children that are under 13, I want to encourage you to take full advantage of the ministry programs that are happening across the hallway for infancy through fifth grade. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be awesome. But we're going to go some places. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm going to spit the truth. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I just did. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But there are going to be some things that I'll say that you're going to be like, oh my goodness. this, but I promise you, if your son or daughter is at least 13 or over, it's going to be okay. And some of you might be saying, that's ridiculous. My son or daughter is so innocent and so protected. Well, if they're in public school, my friend, they're hearing a whole lot more than what they're going to hear pastor preach about the topic. So listen, my wife and I served as youth pastors for 15 years. And we know exactly what teenagers are walking through. And I'm telling you, what we talk about in this room will be appropriate for PG-13 and above. Y'all track with me still? Okay, I've got to give you a lot of information before I even dive into this series because it is so good. Rule number 4, this is written as a poem. And this is written as an allegory. And to the people who were reading this in the very beginning, 3,000 years ago when it was written, they would have understood some of the word pictures that the writer was writing. Whereas for you and me today, we read that and we get a little bit weirded out. For instance, when he tells his beloved, his girlfriend, his fiance, that your belly is like a heap of wheat. That doesn't equate today, does it? In fact, if you tell your spouse that, you're going to get slapped in the face. And so this is written like a poem, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to do the hard work for you. I'm going to dig deep and I'm going to pull out the relevancy and what it applies to today. So you guys just track with me. But when he relates his fiance to a mare or a horse, I'm going to tell you right now, don't say that to your spouse. And we'll unpack exactly what that means. Let me illustrate for you. I took some passages from the book, and we're going to be reading through Song of Solomon. And this is a book that's found in the middle of the Bible, and it was written by a man named Solomon. And this guy wrote, he wrote most of Proverbs, he wrote Ecclesiastes, and he wrote this book called Song of Solomon, and really it should be called Song of Songs, because Solomon wrote, I think it's a little over 1,000 poems, a little over 1,000 songs, but he named this one the Song of Songs. This was his greatest hit compilation. This was to him like Thriller is to Michael Jackson. And so this was his the bad mamma jamma. That's why it's called Song of Songs. And I want to tell you that as we read through this today, or over the course of the next 6 weeks, you need to know it's going to be a little crazy. Let me kind of show you some of these things. I pulled some verses from chapters 4 and 7. And let me just read and unpack this. It says this: how beautiful you are, my beloved, how beautiful you are. And let me just stop right there. There are three groups of people who are speaking in these passages of Scripture. The beloved is the woman. Often what she'll call the man is her lover. And then you'll hear daughters of Jerusalem. And these are like just some friends of this girl. And they're like, oh, yay, you're so awesome. This is so good. And so these are the three people that'll be in this passage of Scripture. He goes on, your eyes are like dove behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Don't say that to your wife. Your teeth are like a flock of newly shorn ewes. Your lips are like a scarlet thread. Your temples are like a slice of pomegranate. I've never affirmed your temples before, Megan. I'm so sorry. Your neck is like the Tower of David built with rows of stones on which are hung thousands of shields. Your two breasts are like two fawns. This is right out of chapter 4. In fact, in 2 weeks, mark your calendars, gentlemen, October 5th, we're going to talk about, in fact, the title of the sermon is Great Sex. And I'm telling you right now, men, you do not want to miss that week, okay? So we'll get there in 2 weeks, but that's right out of chapter 4. We'll cover that a little bit more. Twins of gazelles which feed among the lilies. Your lips, my bride, drip honey. Honey and milk are under your tongue. And the fragrance of your garment is like the fragrance of Lebanon. That's not a compliment today. Okay, that's a bad deal. Your belly is like a heap of wheat. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which faces towards Damascus. Okay, so listen, I'm going to unpack what this means. If this were to translate today, this is what this woman would look like. Do you guys have that slide? This is, so you see the Tower of Damascus, and there's the two fawns and her belly of wheat. So I'm, don't say these things to your girlfriend, dude. Okay, so this, I'm going to unpack this. If you took it literal, you'd be in trouble and get slapped, and you'd be like, baby, I'm just trying to show you how much I love you. And Pastor Kerry told me to say that, and then you're never going to come back to church and all because you're not listening to me. So those are the ground rules for you. But can I do something I don't normally do? I'm going to give you like a 30,000 foot view. And I want you, listen, hey, look at me in the eyes for just a minute. I'm telling you right now, If you just mark 6 weeks on your calendar, this will change your life. Your friends need to know about this series. And I want to give you the topics we're going to cover over the next 6 weeks. Today, we're going to talk about the art of attraction. What does it mean to be attractive? And what should be the qualities that we are attracted to? Next week, I'm going to talk about dating. When you might say, well, I'm already married. When I say, hey, you're not done dating. You're not, man, see, my wife's like, baby. We're talking about dating. So listen, ladies and gentlemen, get your teenage sons and daughters here, college students, get your friends here. I'm telling you right now, this is going to, I'm telling you. I've never spent this much time talking about how important this series is going to be. Week 3, October 5th, we're going to talk about intimacy. It literally is titled Great Sex. And this is one of those topics that is so jacked up even in marriages today that if we can get the intimacy thing down in our marriage relationships, come on, gentlemen, then, man, we're loving life. Yes. And ladies, you are too. And so I'm telling you, this is, y'all are real quiet on me today. So we need to get some amen and going in here, okay? Week 4, we're going to go through chapter 5, and this is where Solomon and his wife or bride or fiance, they have their first fight, and it lasts for 2 chapters. And we're going to talk about conflict and how to walk through that. And then week 5, we're going to talk about how to deepen and strengthen our love. You know, I'm not going to be critical, but I just want to be honest for a moment. I know I'm going fast, but I haven't even gotten my message yet. I have so much interaction with husbands and wives who are walking through challenges in their marriage or couples who are starting to date. And I've just found that so many people, their love is so immature. And the way that they respond to each other is so immature. And I'm not being critical of people even in this room, but I'm just saying, man, we're gonna in week 5, we're going to talk about what does it mean to have a deeper love. And then in week 6, we're going to talk about, through chapters 8, we're going to talk about the faithfulness and covenant. And loyalty, and how these relationships were built to last. Man, don't you want to be a part of a relationship that's going to last? So 6 weeks, guys, give me some effort. Lean in on this, and let's just see what God's going to do. And hey, look, don't come alone. Bring your friends. Bring your friends, because people need to hear what we're going to talk about here. So can we do this? Can we dive in right now? Is that cool? We're going to start with Song of Solomon's, Solomon or Song of Songs, if you will, chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read through this verse by verse. I'm not going to pack any punches. I'm literally going to just read it as it is, and I'm going to explain what it is that the writer is saying and how it applies for you and for me. If you don't have your Bible, you should be able to get one on an iPad or a phone or whatever, and if not, it'll be on the scripture behind me. So Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 1, Solomon's Song of Songs. This is my thriller. It's what he's saying. Thriller! Falsetto, Jesus shows up. Okay, verse 2. Listen to this. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. I want to stop right here to say lean in. Because listen, let me tell you something. You were created to have the greatest love than anyone else on this planet. Let me tell you why. Because God is love. And when you connect to him, what he can do through you goes beyond what you could possibly imagine. She's saying here that your love is more delightful than wine, that you have something so great inside of you that I want to be around you. I want to be near you because of your love. It does something to awaken inside of me, something amazing to call forth destiny. And I'm telling you right now that that's what God has created to do in you. You have the ability to love like nobody else can and will like you can. Because when you connect to God, he'll do something awesome in your life. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk about some things that are challenging. And often in church, you may not hear some of the things we'll talk about. But we're committed to Movement Church to not avoid the difficult topics. We're going to attack and address everything the scripture has to say for you and for me and to figure out how it applies to our life today. But listen, let me tell you, if we're not talking about it here, who's setting the standard? Who sets the standard for you, for your son, for your daughter? Is it the locker room? Is it media? Is it songs and music and movies? Listen, God has a standard and we want to let him set the standard. Amen? All right, verse 3, listen to this. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. He says your name, that means your reputation. She's saying it's something that is so great. It's steadfast and true. And when he talks about fragrance, what he's saying here is it's of the highest value. A fragrance back in biblical times was referring to something that was worth so much money. Oftentimes they would have ointment or fragrance that would cost about a year's wages. And when it said your fragrance poured out is of the highest value. A lot of times you'll hear them talk about olive oil and when it comes to fragrances. And you know the term extra virgin olive oil is referring to the first pressing of the olives. The most purest form of love is what he's talking about. From the very first pressing, not used and abused olives that are brought in. And, oh, let's see if we can get something out of this one more time. But the very first pressing, the extra virgin, the purest form. Your love is of the purest form. The purest form. He moves on and he says, she's talking and she says, no wonder the young women love you. Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chamber. She's saying, listen, no wonder you're amazing because your love is pure. Your name, your reputation has got something. It's an awesome name. And you know, I love the fact that you're an amazing dude, but baby, you're mine is what she's saying. Come on, men. Don't you want to hear that? Baby, you're mine. No, you don't want to hear that? I do. I'm like, maybe every time I wake up, just say, baby, you're mine to me. She doesn't, but pray for me. Verse 4, take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chamber. She's just laying it on thick. Then the friends chime in. They say, we rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love. It's more than wine. And she comes back and she says, how right they are to adore you. Her friends are saying, girl, you're so lucky. You found a good man. You're so lucky. You found a good man. You know, I think there's a lot of singles that might be in here today saying, man, I just don't know if Mr. or Mrs. Wright actually exist. But I want to tell you they're out there. Listen to this. Let's move on. She says, how right they are to adore you. Her friends are saying, man, you're so lucky. And I love how they start to shift gears here and they dive into an interesting concept. And that's what the topic of today's sermon is about. And that's called the art of attraction. And I love how in this next few verses, as we dive in even more, it becomes clear that their attraction is based on the right thing. So these two people are talking to each other, beloved and the lover, and they're talking about what their love represents. And it starts off in chapter 1 with the art of attraction. Hey, look at me for a minute. And the important part to remember here is that their attraction is based on the right things. And I think this is where we miss it so often. We miss this one component. Notice the order of their attraction. And this is what we're going to unpack over the next few minutes today, 15 minutes or so. Listen to the order of their attraction. Let me give you some application today. So if you're here today and you're a single individual, there's two things I want you to learn and take away from this. Number one, learn God's order of attraction. And number two, learn what makes you attractive. Learn what makes you attractive. And hey, if you're here today and you're married, this is what I want you to take away. Work hard at being attractive again. Yes. You worked so hard leading up to that wedding day to be as attractive as you possibly could. And guess what? It's time now to work hard at being attractive again. Ladies, put away the man sweats. Put away the man sweats. Guys, get on a treadmill, start running again like you trying to win her affection again. Work hard at being attractive. Put some effort into it. Put some effort into it. Listen, they start off right here in verse number 5. She's saying, man, I'm so blown away that you love me and I'm not even attractive. She says this in verse 5. Dark am I, yet lovely. You see, today we'd say, man, dark, that means she's tan. And that's an awesome thing because now the tanner the better. And we'll go to tanning salons and we'll lay out and we'll put on tanning oil. And we'll get just shy of skin cancer just to make sure we have a tan. But in those days, it was a bad thing. If they were tan, it meant they had rough skin and rough hands because they were working outside in the fields. And so to be tan wasn't considered attractive. But she says, dark am I, yet lovely. And then she unpacks why she's dark like that. She says, daughters of Jerusalem, dark like the tents of Kedar, like the tent curtains of Solomon, which were jet black. Verse 6 says this. Do not stare at me because I am dark, because I am darkened by the sun. She's saying, hey, please don't focus on my body. Please don't let your attraction to me be based first upon my body. And I think that's a great thing to stop at right there. I think so often our first attraction is at the physical level. And I think we reverse the order of what God's trying to do. Solomon is deeply in love with this woman. But his first attraction with her is not the physical. Verse 6, do not stare at me because I'm dark, but because I'm darkened by the sun. She explains that. She said, my mother's sons, so my stepbrothers, were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. Anytime vineyards is used in the scripture, it's referring to the body. She goes on and she says this, my own vineyard I had to neglect. She's saying, I don't even look good anymore. I don't even have a physical feature that would be attractive to you. So you can hear the inner confines and the conflict inside of this woman. And she goes on, tell me whom I love. I love where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep in midday. And then she asks this great question. She says, why should I be like a veiled woman beside the flocks of your friends? She goes right into this. She goes, why should I be like the veiled woman? And a veiled woman in those days were prostitutes. Prostitutes would wear a veil over their faces. And so what she's saying in this passage is, why should I let you touch me or do anything to me that you want to do? Why should I be like a prostitute? She's announcing to the world, and she's saying it very emphatically, that even though I'm attractive to Solomon, the reason I'm attractive is because I have not compromised on my beliefs. I have not compromised on my value as a person. She said, I'm not going to be like everyone else. I'm not going to be like a veiled woman and just be at your discretion and at your beck and call to do with me what you will. But I'm going to stand firm on my values and I will not compromise. She's saying, that is why you found beauty in me. That is the first attraction. And I believe that's where we miss it. But I think what the Bible's saying for you and for me is that whenever we're looking for someone, the first thing we should be attracted to is the spiritual attraction. The spiritual side of an individual. And look at me, I don't care what your faith background is, you have a spiritual side to you. The Bible says you were created in the image of God. And whether or not you follow him is your decision, but there's a spiritual side to you. And I think we get into trouble when we only look to the physical side of a person and not to the internal confines of what God is doing inside of them. And this is what Solomon's saying, this is a woman I can fall in love with. This is a woman I can fall in love because on the inside, she loves God with her whole heart. She loves and she honors God. There is a spiritual attraction. And it doesn't just have to be for the woman. This is for the men and the women. That we should just love God and honor God with our heart so much that it becomes evident on the outside. This is the very thing that attracted me to my wife, Megan. Was the thing on the inside that she said, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to set the standard and I will not be turned to the left or the right just because somebody thinks that I should be. Hey guys, listen to me. Every woman in this room wants a spiritual leader in their home. Every woman in this room wants a spiritual leader in their home. Listen, I want to challenge you. When you come to a church service, get your hands out of your pocket during the worship time, and it's okay if you move just a little bit, just like this. This is all right. All the white people, you can do this right here. If you got a little groove, it's fine. You can do this little action right here. That's fine too. Hey, I want to challenge you. Maybe you don't feel comfortable raising your hands. That's okay, but give it a shot. Just carry the baby like this. Just hold the baby. And if you feel boldness, maybe you can tell people how big the fish was. About right here. And man, when the courage comes, we'll go touchdown all the way. That's fine. But you can wait. But I want to challenge you. Get into worship, dude. Because every woman in this room wants a spiritual leader. So when we come to worship, don't just stare at the screens like we're idiots. Jeremy's going, and he's like, why are you looking at me? Sing the song. Worship. Hey, don't ask me to pray. You pray. You pray. Dude, look at me. Don't write it down. Expect somebody else to pray. Only you get up and get on your knees and pray. Why? Because I promise you that if she sees you up in the morning praying, she'd be like, baby, come in here right now. Listen, if you're dating or looking, you make sure he's a spiritual leader. Ladies, you make sure don't you let them touch you where they shouldn't touch you. Don't be like the veiled woman. Dude, don't touch her. Look at me for a moment. Just honor her. And you'd be like, well, why? That's ridiculous. It's a standard that the scripture set, not me. I don't care what everyone else does. This is why we have series and discussions about what relationships should look like. Why? Because God has a standard. But you choose whether or not you'll follow it. So don't touch it. If you like it, then put a ring on it. Oh, my single ladies. And we'll talk more in depth about this in week 3. Well, Pastor Kerry, I just can't. Yes, you can. What are you, freaking dog in heat? You laugh, but it's true. And ladies, don't entice him and then be getting mad at him when he's trying to jump your bones. That might not be PG-13. I'll tone that down. The first attraction has got to be a spiritual attraction. It's got to be a spiritual attraction. Holy cow, we're running out of time. You want to get the attraction back? Love and honor God. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, if you're married in this room and you are not, you're trying to fight for this attraction, can I just give you a little helpful hint? Get on a team and serve God's given purpose for you together. Wake up on a Sunday morning and stand at the front door and greet together and watch what God will do in your life. I'm telling you right now. Ladies, if you're looking for a dude and he's not volunteering at a church, then drop that dude like a bad habit. I'm telling you right now, you don't want a guy that doesn't know how to help God advance his kingdom. You're going to waste your time because then you're going to get married and you're like, man, I just wish he'd come to church. I just wish. It's always football. And then, but we try to tell you in this. I try to tell you. Husband and wife, you want to rekindle that? Jump on a team. Just lead a connect group. When you have 15 people coming to your house that you're about to lead, you're going to get your act together. You may have just had an argument, but okay, maybe we got to figure this out right now. Why? It gives you purpose. It gives you purpose. If there's no purpose, you can let that thing linger and linger and linger, and nothing will ever change until one day you drift apart. You drift apart. Verse 9, he goes on, he says, I liken you, my darling. I love that. My darling. I liken you, my darling, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariot horses. And you're like, what? Well, chariot horses were white and pure. He's saying, I notice your qualities and I enjoy being around you. But he says, my darling, this kind of leans into the second attraction. And that word darling literally could be translated to friend, to my best friend. After a spiritual attraction, it's not just straight into the physical, but you're like my best friend. You're someone that I want to hang with. You're someone I want to be with. You're someone I want to spend time with. And I'm not trying to get out of the house and plan another event or go to a guy's night out or girl's night out just to get out of this place because the old ball and chain. In fact, what do you call her or him? Is it the old ball and chain? Is it that? I mean, what do you call them? My boo. I know some of you say that a lot. No, we don't do that. I call her my shorty because she is. My hottie with a body because she do. Are you with me? My best friend. Man, Megan literally is my best friend. Legitimately, tomorrow is our day off and we spend the entire day together. We don't gaze into each other's eyes. That's too cheesy. We'd laugh at each other. We'll go on about a 6-7 mile hike and just talk, man. I'm not trying to get out of the house on Monday nights because I can't stand being around her. She's my best friend. It hasn't always been like that. It took some time. He goes on. He says, your cheeks are beautiful with earrings, your neck with string of jewels. We will make you earrings of gold studded with silver. While the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. 13 says this, my beloved, she's responding now. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breasts. I don't know what a sachet of myrrh is, but I'm sure he was excited to be one. And so, no? Nothing? I was hoping that'd get a better laugh. I've been working on that one. Between my two breasts, and what's she saying? She's saying, I was thinking about you all night long. Man, when I wasn't with you, I was thinking about you. I just want to hang out with you. You really do. You complete me. You're a big part of who I am. Verse 14 says this, my beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms from the vineyard of En-Gedi. The first attraction is a spiritual attraction. The second one has got to be an emotional attraction. An emotional. I mean, I just like to be with you. I'm connected to who you are. If you're looking for somebody to date, don't circumvent the friendship side of this thing. Let that foster first. I think that's one of the things that I'm so grateful for Megan. We were friends for 3 or 4 years before we even started dating. She was 2 grades older, so I was like a little punk kid to her. But then I threw it down. And so, you like that? Second attraction, emotional attraction. And listen, here's some helpful hints, man. Find someone that's a friend that you're not trying to get away from. But also, listen, get rid of the harsh words that are spoken. Hey, husbands, be careful what words you speak because they don't forget those things. And they dig deep and they germinate. And they blossom into something that's unhealthy. If you're dating and you're looking for the right guy, get around him when he's with his family. And listen to how he talks to his mom. Good. Good. And if he doesn't have a mom, get him around an adult that's an older woman and see how he treats her. Dudes, if you're dating and you're looking, get around her with her family and see how she treats her dad. It matters. It matters. And if they don't, maybe they don't have a healthy relationship with their parents, get your dude around me. I'll help you out. I'll create some awkward experiences just to see how he responds. And then you can go, this dude, that's my dude. Or I'll beat him up for you. Hey, get rid of the harsh words. If you're married, get rid of the harsh words. And this isn't just for men, but also for women. When was the last time you made an emotionally healthy deposit into your spouse? When was the last time? You know, when it comes to ladies, they appreciate when you affirm their qualities. Oh, I love this, that you value this. I love that this is something that you care about our kids and you make their lunches and it just matters so much. And for dudes, it's when you affirm their abilities. We have a small little condo in Laguna Niguel, and we moved from Texas to Arizona to out here, and we downsized to like this itty bitty living space. And so like our laundry room is where all the clutter gets thrown into, you know what I'm talking about? That's the room where you throw all the stuff when people are coming over. And so I was like so sick of it. I got on Amazon and ordered some things to organize and hung the brooms up and then got a shelf to put the laundry detergent. I stacked the paper towels and the toilet paper and the toolbox. And I was like, oh, and I stepped back like God did after he created the earth and said, it is good. And I left the doors open because I knew Megan was coming home soon. And I went and sat in the living room. Megan came home and felt like 30 minutes passed, probably 30 seconds. And I was like, another 45 minutes passed, probably a minute and a half. The doors are open. I go, hey, babe. Yeah. Did you see the laundry room? Yep. No, I mean, come here, babe. Come here. Look at this with me. Did you see the laundry room? I was like, come on. Let's look at this thing. Do you see where the laundry detergent is? Nothing. I was like, what? Man, listen, she's a great wife. Last Sunday before the service, I got this text, and it was like a book long, and all she did was tell me some great things about what we had done and happy anniversary. And I was like, man, this is exact. I walked around, puffed my chest up. It didn't matter if anybody showed up that day. I'm like, my baby loved me. I stood like this. I don't even know why, but I did. I feel like I'm sticking my rear end out too much. Okay. Hey, for a lady, affirm the qualities. For him, affirm his abilities. Affirm his abilities. You know, I believe that adultery, when that happens, it's less about lust and sex than you might think. I believe adultery begins when the vacuum of affirmation is filled by someone else. Look at me. There is somebody who will affirm your spouse. Man, this is the best report we've seen in like 3 months. It's the best report? Really? Yeah, hey, listen, thanks for sending that email, man. We've been having issues with communications, been struggling, blah, blah, blah. And man, thanks for getting that. That was a good email? Yeah, thank you so much. When that vacuum of affirmation is filled by somebody else, I believe that's the beginning grounds for adultery and affairs. When was the last time you made a deposit emotionally into your spouse or to your boyfriend or your girlfriend? The first attraction has got to be spiritual. The second one is emotional. And I believe that spiritual attraction makes up about 75% of the equation. The emotional makes up about 20%. And this last component makes up about 5% of the equation. Let's go back to the scripture. Verse 15 says, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. He's going now into the physical features. He's saying, hey, you have something that I see that is appealing and pleasing to me. I'm focusing on the outward appearance. But listen, he goes on. Your eyes are like dove. Your eyes are like dove. And in rabbinic teaching, or when rabbis in the day would teach, they would teach you to look into someone's eye because it is the bearer of the soul. Right? If you have children and you think they're up to something mischievous, you say, look me in the eyes. Did you take the cookie from the cookie jar? And if they're going, no, you're like, shut your mouth and get up here now. You just know. Why? Because the eyes, the bearer of the soul. And what's he saying? That I'm looking to the outside, but even more than that is the inner beauty. I'm attracted to so much more than the aesthetics and the outside and the physical, but there's something internal that is beautiful as well. It's just so much less about what's physical and so much more about what's happening on the inside. She says to him, "How handsome you are, my lover. Oh, how charming. And our bed is verdant. The beams of our house are cedars, our rafters are firs." So now we're talking about the bedroom. And they're talking about how there's a physical attraction. But notice what they use to illustrate this is they talk about the foundation and the framework and the pillars of a home. So they're saying, yes, I'm attracted to you, but I'm going to focus on some physical features, but everything has to be built correctly. We've got to do this right. There is an order to how God has set this thing up for you and for me. The third attraction is a physical attraction. And we're going to talk in depth about some of this on October 5th. So make sure that you're here. But he's focusing here more on an inner beauty than anything else. And I know that sounds so silly. Because sometimes we say things like, oh yeah, he's got a good heart. Or she's got a good heart. And really that's a backhanded compliment, which means something completely different. But I'm telling you, there's something to this, to be attracted to an inner beauty. I'm telling you, for me, man, in high school, I just made a decision that I wasn't going to date until I found the one that I wanted to marry. I just made that decision. And it wasn't because I was an introverted, nerdy kid who didn't know how to talk to girls. I had girls that were trying to date me constantly through high school. And I know that sounds so horrible. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm saying all that to say, I literally, Valentine's Day, 1997, I walked into a room and I saw across the room Megan in a way I'd never seen her before. And instantly I connected with the beauty on the inside because she was driven and she was passionate. And more important than anything else, she had vision from God to accomplish the purpose for her life. And I said, that's what I want in a woman. Because if the physical attraction is the first thing, it does not last. Right? Things change, right? They just change. But that inner beauty is what stays the same. And see, I feel like I got a twofer with Megan. She's a hottie with a body, and on the inside, she's beautiful. I'm just telling you, that's what you want to look for, is that inner beauty. That thing on the inside to go, man, that's something and someone that I can connect to. I'm attracted to her physically, but beyond just the outside, that's what Solomon is saying to his beloved, and that's what she is saying to him. And I believe that's God's purpose for us. We're going to skip to chapter 2 because now things kind of start to heat up a little bit. Things start to spice up a little bit. He says, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in verse 1, she says this, "I am a rose of Sharon." She's saying, "I am a rose of Sharon." This is the dark, ugly girl who is insecure about her outward appearance, but now there's an inner confidence coming out. Why? Because Solomon sees something beyond what anyone else can see. He sees the purpose and the value. He was attracted first spiritually, and then emotionally, and then physically. And it pulled something out of her, and she said, "I am the rose of Sharon. I'm a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley. Like a lily among thorns in my darling among the young women." She's saying, with all the other women around, it doesn't matter. I am his and he is mine. She's got this confidence that's coming out. And listen, I love how she was insecure and now she becomes secure. And when that starts, when there's a spiritual and emotional and a physical attraction, naturally things inside are going to begin to shift. And she does what most anyone would do. And she says, "Hey, let's go to bed." She said, "Let's go to bed." Now, they're not married. They're not even dating yet. They're in the very beginning stages of a relationship. And something is kindled inside of her. And she feels so confident, so affirmed, and so loved by Solomon. And she's like, "Hey, let's go to bed." She says, verse 5, says, "Strengthen me with raisins," which was an aphrodisiac. "Refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love." She's like, "I can't take this anymore. I can't take this anymore. Take me to bed." Verse 6 says this, "His left arm is under my head and his right arm embraces me." So they're lying down now. They're lying down. It's getting hot and heavy. Things are heating up. The passion is there. And then Solomon pumps the brakes. Instantly the story shifts. The story changes. They don't go there. They don't do what they're not supposed to do until marriage. Solomon pulls back and she says this, "Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the doe of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires." Now, that doesn't mean that don't arouse or awaken love until it feels right or things are good. That word desires means develops. And what it's talking about here is to develop in God's way, in God's timing. God has a purpose and a plan. So things get hot and heavy. They first have a spiritual attraction. Then they have an emotional attraction and then a physical attraction. But it isn't just based on the outside. It's based on something inside that has taken place. And naturally, as it does with any human being, it kindles something where they want to become intimate with each other. But before they do that, they remember what their purpose and objective is. And they said, hold on, wait, we're not going to go there. We're not going to do what we're not supposed to do until the time is right. Do not arouse or awaken love until God develops it according to his time, according to his purpose, and according to his procedures. Let love be attracted first spiritually, then emotionally, and then physically. Let's work on being attractive. Can we do that? And let's work on being attracted to the right person and in the right order. Amen? Hey, I want to talk to some of you who are here today. Maybe you're here and you're listening to this, and maybe one of the things that you hear is, man, it's too late. I've gone too far. My past is too jacked up. And I look at my now or I look at my past and I think there's no way that could not be healthy. And if that's God's plan, I don't fit into that right now and things aren't right. And you know, I want to tell you that's okay because Jesus makes all things new. He's a God of second chances. In fact, the scripture is so clear about his purpose and his objective for you and for me. Sometimes we might feel like there's a cap or a ceiling to our connection to God. And the Bible would say that that's absolutely true. And the Bible would call that cap or that ceiling a sin cap or a sin gap, a separation between us and God. And the Bible talks about that sin, that no one has gone through life or lived life without sinning, that all of us have sinned. It's in all of our lives. In fact, it means that everyone has a messed up or a jacked up past. But God, through Jesus, makes all things new. The Bible says there's a consequence and a penalty for sin. And the consequence is grave. The Bible says it's death and an eternity in hell. It's sobering, but you and I get consequences. If we're speeding past a police officer, he's going to pull us over and give us a ticket. If you have a son or daughter who is disobedient, then there's discipline involved. We get the consequences. The amazing thing is the Bible offers a radical solution. The Bible says that God sent Jesus who had no sin in his life. And he died on the cross, not so we could wear him around a necklace, but to pay the ransom and the penalty of sin. And in that moment of love and grace and mercy, he gives you an opportunity to make all things new. You don't have to be perfect to say yes to that. You don't have to get everything in order before you can come to Jesus. All you have to do is simply say, Jesus, I want you to be in control of my life. I surrender my life to you. And in that moment, he doesn't make things perfect, but he provides a way, a pathway, an avenue where you can experience life like you never have before. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, I don't want you to leave without saying yes to Jesus. In just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And you, right where you're seated, you don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to get out of your seat or anything. But right where you're seated, I want to challenge you to say yes to Jesus. And let's watch God do something awesome in our life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, in just a moment, I'm going to pray that prayer. And I want you to repeat after me in your own heart, right where you're seated. And let's let God make all things new. Just say, dear God, I know that you love me, that you've given me purpose, that you've called me. Today, God, I acknowledge that I've got sin, that I'm not perfect, that I've made mistakes, that I need you. Thank you for sending Jesus for me. Forgive me of my sins. Just say these words. Say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time.